Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Presidente, you know me as your fearless leader. For the next 2 hours, we will guide you through this crazy world of sports that we have on hand. And I tell you what, as usual, we will not let you down. Football is back. Football is back. That's right. It is time to talk some NFL, and we have some NFL to talk about. We're going to talk about that mere immortal. One number 18 out in Denver, Mr. Peyton Manning tore it up. Maybe he should have left a little bit for the rest of the year. If you're lucky enough to have him on your fantasy football team, well, let me tell you what. You won't be dropping him anytime soon, I'm quite sure. So we're going to be talking about him. And the great game that he had out there out there in Denver. So we're going to break down the Colts, also the Colts Raiders, and we're going to break down some college football games. And also, right up coming up here in just a few moments, we've got racing to talk about, as we do every day this time, every week this time of our show. And we've got Walter Cox standing by in the wings down at Richmond. He's going to talk with us about what's going on down there. We also are going to talk about this slap that was heard around the world in NASCAR. We'll be right back. Keep it right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Bo do bleep, bo bo geep, bo dwa da do da dwa ma.
Some drama at NASCAR race in Canada ended with one driver's girlfriend getting revenge. Take a look at this. Two drivers, Mike Skeen and Max Pappas, touched bumpers and spun out in the final lap. Dean was so furious afterwards, he climbed through the window trying to attack Pappas. Then watch what happened during the post-race interview. You saw that? Skeen's girlfriend walks up to Pappas and slaps him right in the face. He claims she hit him so hard, she dislocated his jaw. I would do that for Peter in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Yeah, I would just...
What is this feeling that's put you in your place? A hot red burning on the side of your face. Feel the blood rush to your cheek. Tears start to fill your eyes. And your lips are trembling, but you can't speak. You're trying, oh, you're trying not to cry. You just got slapped across the face, my friend. You just got slapped. Is that really just happened?
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis. El Presidente! I tell you what, if you were watching any NASCAR at all last week, you saw this over and over and over and over again. The slap that was heard around the world. Joining us now, Mr. Walter Kuntz from down at Richmond, Fox Sports, ESPN Sports, Pit Reporter, the man with the plan, our friend, Uncle Walter. So glad that you could be back with us, sir. How are you?
Good morning, El Presidente. I tell you, man, y'all got some great snacks in this Q room. I love it in here.
Great snacks in the Q room. So how's things going down there in Richmond? And we'll talk about that race here in a minute. But what a great track that is for NASCAR and for the media and everybody around.
It's one of my favorites on the circuit because it's big enough to go fast, but small enough to let some beating and banging, and the chrome horn will be heard this evening.
Well, speaking of beating and banging, let's talk about that slap around the world. As you heard in our little opening dialogue there, that, I tell you what, Max Pappas' girlfriend just decided that Max Pappas got slapped. It was it was the girlfriend went up and slapped him. Talk to me about that. Is NASCAR's new rule going to be no girlfriends, no wives, or anybody out on the track in post races?
I have to say I really respect Max for being the man and taking the slap, because you don't hit a woman back, no reason at all. And he took it, and that was cool. He said later on, you know, his English is not very good, and he misspoke. It hurt, but it did not dislocate his jaw. And the woman was the girlfriend of the driver that got into it with Max, and she got fined by NASCAR and banned from any NASCAR races. So it's you can't just think you can get away with it. It doesn't happen in today's world.
Well, all I can tell you is that what's the old saying? Get your woman in check. I mean, I don't know. I heard that there was some behind the scenes schooling going on when this happened. I get that you want to stick up for your man and, you know, stand by your man, the old Tammy Wynette song. I get that. But come on. I mean, surely she had to have known. Maybe he needs to find another girlfriend, because to me, if she's going to go up and slap another man like that in public, he probably gets slapped around in private. Now, I'd be getting rid of her, right? I don't.
Well, it's like Max said, he knows who wears the pants in that family.
Absolutely. Well, let's, you know, in all seriousness, we joke around about it, but let's talk about what led up to that. And if you could enlighten us, for those that didn't watch the race and maybe didn't know what happened, obviously there was an accident involving Max Pappas, and he was kind of forced into the wall by a rookie, and then he bumped into Ty Dillon there. It really wasn't that bad of a wreck in a lot of ways, but it sure lit a fire on a lot of teams there. So talk with me about what happened there, and a lot of people think this was more than just a rookie mistake.
Well, I think the media blew it up a little bit out of proportion. The Truck Series nowadays is where they like the beating and the banging and the getting into each other, and more than you'll see in nationwide racing and cup racing. And that's what makes this so much more fun to watch. It's like old school racing used to be. And so on that last lap, and you've got to, you know, your team is dependent on you, your sponsors, your owners, they expect you to go out there and get something done. So on that last lap, you're going to make it happen no matter what it takes. And unfortunately, there was some beating and banging, nothing out of the ordinary. You know, I didn't see that it was that carried away. And the tempers flared because, that guy that bumped into Max, you know, I guess it was his first time there. And you're trying to make a name for yourself and get a foot in the door, and all of a sudden you're spun out and nobody knows you anymore. So, yeah, I can see where the tempers come from, but are they warranted? No, I didn't think so.
Well, right, and I can see, you know, getting caught up in the moment of emotion. But, I mean, the way that she came at him and assaulted him, you would have thought that maybe he was taken to the hospital and, you know, it was like a Denny Hamlin-type wreck or something that he caused. I mean, this was an everyday – this was another day at the office for these guys. And like you said, that's one of the draws that the NASCAR Truck Series has to its fans, is the old-school NASCAR racing. And, you know, NASCAR is trying very, very hard to get their fan base back. So, you know, you got to let these guys race and be racers. You know, that's one reason why they put the NASCAR trucks back out on the dirt out at Eldora this year. And certainly you would think that maybe that's just a test market to see how that's going to perform later on. And who knows if we'll ever see the big boys back on dirt again for one race. But even if we don't, that draw is the old school racing. So, I still don't understand where everybody got so upset about. Nobody was hurt. And in a lot of ways, it was just your every run-of-the-day accident that happens in NASCAR every day, every week of the year.
Exactly. Like I said, it was media-based. You know, nowadays, they don't want to tell you the good stories, the nice human interest stories. So-and-so went and jumped out of a plane today, or the crew chief baked a pie. You know, they don't want the nice, easy going stuff. They're digging for the bad stuff, and that's all they want to talk about. That's a shame. You know, there's a whole lot of stories in there waiting to be told. I found out one yesterday. You know, David Reagan is going alligator hunting this week. Who's going to talk about that? Nobody.
Yeah, like, well,
it's pretty cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, I would go alligator hunting. Absolutely. I mean, well, I would hunt just about anything. Just about anything. And Walter, by the way, before I let this get by us, I know you had a birthday this week. Are you feeling any older?
Well, thank you for the birthday wishes, but yeah. It's funny. I had one of the PR people in the garage yesterday. They told me, whatever age you are, that's how many days after your birthday that you can still celebrate. So I got like a month and a half left of birthday celebration.
Woo! Happy birthday, Walter. You know, and of course, we were one of many to wish you happy birthday on the on Facebook. And what a – you talk about social media and what a – you know, I never realized I had so many friends. Never in my life have I ever had so many people tell me happy birthday. People I don't even know come up to me and say, happy birthday, Tom. I hope you have a great day. So I hope you did have a – I hope you did have a good birthday. Did you do anything special? Did the wife make you a cake? Did you have just a nice quiet day down on the farm with the cows?
You wouldn't believe it. As much as my life has me traveling and going here and there, for my birthday, we had what we call a do-nothing day. My wife took off work and spent the day with me, and we did absolutely nothing. And in this, in my job, that's rare to find. So it was a beautiful day.
Well, we're talking with Walter Cox, ESPN Pitt reporter, and down in the mix of everything out at Richmond. It's time to get down into business. Obviously, Richmond is a short track, in a track that really has a lot of action. And if you blink twice, you're going to get yourself in a mess. So let's talk a little bit about the Nationwide Series. We'll move up to the Sprint Cup Series there. But BK, I tell you what, this could be his race to really dominate and show that he still has what it takes. And so let's look at the Nationwide race and talk about BK and some of the things that are going on in that race. I was going to say something funny about Brian Scott, but it just totally slipped my mind. So I'm going to let you. I had it all worked out. It had something to do with a Rolling Stones hit song or something. I don't know. Brian Scott broke a heart. I don't know, with a 22 Mustang. But anyway, there we go. So Nationwide race. yeah, but. BK wins in an historic 1,000th Nationwide race. Scott leads 240 laps. So we look at Brian Scott. Brian Scott's really starting to make a name for himself inside the Nationwide Series. And, of course, BK, everybody knows BK because he has it his way most of the time anyway. At least he wants people to believe that. So we look at Richmond and we look at BK and Brian Scott. Break down the Nationwide Series as we stand today.
It's funny how you said that BK wants it his way, because last night at that final restart, Brian Scott contends that Keselowski jumped the start. And looking back at the replays, he has a good argument. My opinion, yeah, I think he jumped the start, and they should have stopped it and did it again and warned them not to do it again, but they didn't. They let it continue, and, of course, Keselowski went on for the win. And even after the race, when Brian Scott got out of the car, because he was our interview, and he said, I wish NASCAR would go back and review it, because he jumped the start, and everybody saw it, and nothing was done. And then they asked him the question, well, at this point, what do you expect to be done? And you know, what really can you do? I don't know that they could go back and take away the win or reverse anything. But then Brian said how he wanted clarification on the rule so he knows for next time. And, because he hasn't gotten that elusive win yet. He's still looking for one. But Richard Childress come over to the car, and he was very upset. And they all, agreed that he jumped the start. So, hey, controversy in Richmond already. Ooh.
Well, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series have one race before the chase starts, and that one race is in Richmond. So Richmond is a fun track. I agree with you. It's one of my fun tracks as well. It's rooted in the deep roots of NASCAR, obviously in the South, and kind of one of the earliest NASCAR tracks. So it has a lot of history behind it. But how much of a difference will Richmond make this week in the history of this season?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know why they bother selling seats here at Richmond, because nobody's going to use them. They're all going to be standing up watching tonight's race. It is just dripping with excitement, and the nerves in that garage right now, you have no idea. I mean, people, they don't even want to look at you or talk, because they're very focused on their job and what they're doing, and they got to get it done. This is your last chance to make the chase, to make your sponsors and everybody happy. You've got to make it happen now, and seven that are locked in, they're just going to ride and have some fun and go for the win and may even try an experimental something or other here and there to get ready for the chase. But those that aren't locked in, my goodness, the nerves. So I'm nervous for them.
Well, let's look at some of these chase scenarios now. For those that don't know, Richmond is only a 3/4 mile track, okay? And you know, if for our local listeners here in the Indianapolis area or those who have been here, I attributed Richmond very closely to Lucas Oil Raceway, formerly known as O'Reilly Auto Parts Raceway, out there in Brownsburg, where NASCAR and NASCAR Truck Series raced for years. Before moving over to Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the nationwide race anyway. So this is a short track, and you've been to that track out there in Brownsburg. And would you say that's a fair comparison to the way Richmond is set up?
Yes, very fair. And I love that little track out there at O'Reilly. It's a shame they took the races out of there and put them at the big track, because I love going out there. That was short track racing at its best. You had the all the good food out there. Don't forget the food.
Oh, yeah, you got to have the food. They're known for their good food out there, that's for sure.
It was more, you know, like a flatter corners, and they let the race in the beating and bang. I guess I'm that type of fan. I like to see them, you know, bang each other's side. I don't want to see everybody spin each other. But I like it when you have to lean on the guy going in the corner, because like Earnhardt Sr. used to say, 8 tires corner better than 4.
I totally agree. Well, like I said, there are currently 6 drivers locked into the chase. Another 6 will be Saturday night. The chase scenarios for Richmond for the Federated Auto Parts 400, which will be held tonight at the 3/4 mile Richmond International Raceway. Now, a total of 43 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series cars will take the green flag. Obviously, Gordon got the pole. Does Gordon have another Hail Mary left in his career?
He's going to have one. And it's a shame, because his destiny is not only in his own hands. It depends. Some other people have to do some stuff. But the 24 has to have a win to have a shot to make the chase. And mathematically, the 2 and the 1 of Jamie Burry and the 27 of Bernard have a shot, but it's a long shot.
Right. It may be a slingshot. Well, and so we look at some of these other drivers. Now, Jeff Burton out of number 31 at the end of the year last year in this event was won by Clint Bowyer, who started 4th. In April, it was Kevin Harvick who found victory lane in the 17th spot. So it'll be on ABC tonight or ESPN beginning at 7:30 p.m. with the green flag at 7:44. So some of the key drivers to look at in this race, where they've really got to go in and make it happen, who would you say is the most intense on the bubble? If they don't make it happen, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people out there.
The number one driver on that list, Brad Keselowski. He's the returning champion from last year. And how many little check marks does he have in the win column? None. That was just a shocker for him and the team, and they're going to be sadly disappointed if they don't make the chase. This will be the first time the defending champion has not made the chase if they don't make it. So, the pressure's on them right now. And like you said, there's only 6 locked in that don't have no pressure and just going for the win and having fun. Those that are not locked in, let's look at them for a moment. And the scenarios that it's going to take to make it happen. All you Dale Jr. fans in the 88 car, Dale has to finish 32nd or better to lock himself in. And unless he gets wrapped up in a wreck or something, that couldn't be an issue. The 22, Joey Logano, he's got to finish 11th or better, or 12th in the lead lap. And 16 of Greg Biffle needs to finish 9th or better, or 10th with leading the lap. The 78 of Kurt Busch needs to finish 2nd or lead a lap, finishing 3rd. And the 24, of course, as we mentioned, needs a win. The ones in the wild card spot right now, the 5 with 2 wins, and the 56 with one win. So unless you're the 48, 15, 29, 99, 18, or 20, you're sweating bullets right now.
Well, you mentioned Joey Logano. I like Joey Logano. I think, really, he's looking great for this chase. Of all the drivers in the NASCAR Sprint Cup circuit, no one's really come further this season than Joey Logano. For 4 years, Logano has really struggled in the shadows of the likes of Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin and all at Joe Gibbs Racing, winning only twice and never cracking the top 15 in points. And frankly, his last two seasons with Joe Gibbs Racing, I don't think Logano showed little of any progress, but that's all changed this year. So I like this kid, Joey Logano.
I think personally, this is how I feel about it. Used to, and I can remember Jeff Gordon saying this time and time again, when they're discussing how to set up the car and what they want to do to it, that Jeff would say they have a how would he say it? you feel it in your seat, you know, what the car is doing. You could set it up by the seat of your pants. That's what he would say. And they would listen to the driver and take his advice and change this or that and the other and make it happen. But it doesn't happen like that anymore. And I think that's what happened with Joey Logano and his success in the 22. The way they set up the car now, they set it up despite, I mean, the driver helps, but not as much as they used to. So nowadays, it's a matter of finding the right driver to sit in your car that you've got it set up this way, you know? And if your driver don't match your car, there's no success in that team because the cars are set up just the opposite of the way they used to be. The engineers are involved now, and they're telling you, the car is tight in this corner, the car is loose in this corner. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, no, it's not, but they're listening to the engineers instead of the drivers now. So it's just a matter of finding the right driver to sit in that right seat in the right car, and Joey Logano, I think, is the epitome of that this year.
Well, absolutely, and I like Joey Logano, and I'm a big fan of his, and I think that hopefully this year he'll be able to make a difference. And a couple things I want to touch on here with you, and if you got to go, just say, hey, Tom, shut the heck up, man. I got to go, buddy. I got to go. ESPN writes me this big old check. They fly me in on this real nice airplane. I got to do what they say. So if you get called away, I totally understand. But if you don't mind hanging around here for just a few more moments, there's a few more other things I want to talk about, and certainly I want to talk again about this chase with Jeff Gordon, and you know, like you said, he's got to find another Hail Mary out there, and we look at possibly in a lot of ways we look at how Gordon and possibly Busch, you know, could be right there in the mix of everything. Well, I guess what I would want to know from you on as far as Jeff Gordon, does Jeff Gordon make the chase this year? And you look at, really, if Gordon and Busch battle for a chase spot, so will Martin Truex Jr. and Ryan Newman, who are currently in a heated struggle for the final wild card position. And Truex holds the edge in the matchup of by 5 points, backed up with the 11th place run in the time trials. Newman qualified 24th. Obviously, Newman won here in Indianapolis. Great win for him, but I fear it was all for nothing. If you can win the Brickyard but not get in the chase, and Gordon and Busch in that battle there. So if you can look at those two matchups, who comes out on top between those two?
I tell you, tonight, I would not want to be the car in front of Jeff Gordon as he's going for that win. And he is, you can see it on his face, the look of determination. The team has worked so hard for this moment, and the only thing he's lacking is that little check in the win column. Ryan Newman's got that win, but Jeff Gordon's ahead of him in points. So if Gordon gets that win, that moves him up. Martin Truex has the win. That's why he's locked in. And Keselowski, of course, none. Jamie McMurray, none. Paul Menard, none. So do not get in front of Jeff Gordon tonight. That's my advice. And I hope you listen, because that man's on a mission.
Well, let's look. And he is on a mission. And we don't really have time to get into this conversation, but I think this very well could be his last mission if he doesn't make the chase. I think we've seen we're at the end of Jeff Gordon's driving career. That is, obviously, he's in the business community of the racing and friends with some broadcasters. So we're not going to see Jeff Gordon go away. I just think that this could be his last year behind the wheel. A lot of people disagree with that, maybe because they're in denial. But I think it's time that Jeff Gordon starts looking at other avenues for his career and his life.
I love going over to Egypt and being in denial.
I love
it. But I tell you, I have not heard rumor one. You're the first person I've heard say that. But you're starting rumors already. It's you. You're the one starting that.
That's it. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to start a rumor here, but I just look at he's been struggling and on it. And if you put his recent career opportunities, I mean, he's Jeff Gordon. He's Michael Jordan of NASCAR. So he's going to leave at his terms and only his terms, and whenever that might be. But when you look at it from the point of a graph standpoint of, you know, if you look at graphs going down, he's on the downward slope. And now if he gets in the chase and he turns around and he pulls things out in this chase race, I think that curve would start going back the opposite direction. In other words, his value is going down. And really all that's holding him, in my opinion, all that's holding him in linked to sponsors and in the car himself is his name and his past. Not what it's like the old song, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?"
Oh, Tom, my goodness. Oh, you're Mr. Anti-Jeff Gordon this morning, aren't you?
Not really. I'm really not. I like Jeff. I think he's a great driver. I mean, I got nothing personal. This is nothing personal. This is business, man. This is business. No. When it all comes together, El Presidente can sit here and say, I told you so, back on September 7th, 2013, that if Jeff Gordon didn't make the chase, he's just going to retire and do other things.
No.
You're saying it's not time to put Jeff Gordon out to pasture just yet. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. He may be standing at the gate, but he hadn't opened it yet.
Well, hey, you know what? You're a cattle farmer from way back, and you love your cows.
And they love me.
They do love you, absolutely. That's where you get your peace of quiet at. But you know what I mean. If anybody knows that when a cow's standing at the gate waiting to go out to the pasture, it would be you. So look at using that analogy, is waiting to go out to the pasture. Let's word it that way.
No. I'd say he's got 4, 5, 6 years left to go. Easy. He still has the drive. He still has the determination. He still has the will. And I don't think he's going to go through that gate until he loses all three of those. And it's not, my opinion, not coming anytime soon.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. Like I said, we don't really have time to get – and it's not a bad thing. I'm really not bashing Jeff Gordon. I like Jeff Gordon. He's accomplished a lot and certainly a Hall of Fame driver and a class act and certainly a driver that a lot of drivers should emulate. So certainly by no means am I saying that by him retiring am I saying that he's a bad driver or anything like that. But I just think that he's accomplished so much. I don't know that at some point there just comes a time where he's got to look at other things. But it is what it is. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't happen. It gives guys like us something to talk about. So speaking of that, I've got my last topic here. I ran over just a little bit here, but I want to talk with you about Tony Stewart. Again, another great driver, and maybe you're going to say I'm a Tony Stewart basher at this point. But when we look at sponsors, and we just talked about this, what happens with sponsorships and the money that's involved and get out there and make it happen. Tony's a very, very, very competitive driver. Loves to drive race cars. It's in their blood. I had Roger Curtis on the show a few weeks ago, president of Michigan International Speedway, and we were talking about this very subject. And his thing is, it's in their blood. They have to race. They know nothing else but racing. But when you are a team owner and you're trying to set an example and you are in charge of sponsorship money, okay, those sponsors came to you to sponsor the number 14 mobile oil car because you were Tony Stewart. So they want Tony Stewart in that. Not that you can't find a worthy replacement, but when you take chances off the track, and we saw it over in IndyCar as well, where an accident, well, IndyCar with Castaneves was not as bad as Tony's wreck, and I'm glad that Tony came out of it okay, but when things like this happen with Tony that happened with him and he broke his leg, and it wasn't the first time that he'd been in a wreck in the off season. Now he is out of the chase. He's done. That says a lot to me as a sponsor. If I'm putting multi-million dollars on your car because of your name and you can't drive your car, to me, that says a lot. That speaks a lot. So what are your thoughts about that? Should drivers like Tony Stewart and other drivers, if you're in the heat of a championship race and you're a championship driver and you're a team owner, should you be racing in other races extracurricular?
I love this. There's three ways that I like to look at it. Number one, Jack Roush told, as the owner of Roush Fenway Racing, told his drivers, if you want to go out and drive all those other little cars and little races and hockey matches and basketball and this and that and the other, fine. But you're not going to do it in my car. He put the foot down because Carl Edwards got hurt a few years back, and that's when Jack wrote the rule. Said, no more. If you want to drive my car, you're going to drive my car. You want to go play? Go play. But we're not doing both. So he set his foot down and set the rules for all of Roush Fenway. Now, number two. Tony Stewart and the 14. Who's the owner? Tony Stewart. So he has not set the rule. He has not told anybody, you can't do all this other stuff. Because they're still, you know, they enjoy it, like you said, and they participate in it as a part of their life. So the rule hadn't been set over there, and being the owner, I guess you can pretty much do what you want. Number three, I like the point you made about the sponsors. And they want to be get the most out of their investment, most out of their dollars that they've invested in you. And that being the case, what are you looking for when you invest that money? You're looking for coverage. You're looking for people talking about you. You're looking for you're on everybody's lips. That's what you're talking about, the 14 and the Bass Pro Shop. And so are they still getting their sponsorship dollars worth? I think so. You know, it's when you're not talked about that, maybe I didn't make such a good investment here. But he is being talked about, and the sponsors are being shown, and they're getting their money's worth. Because, you know, they got people back at the office that watch the race, and every time a sponsor is shown, they've got a little timer. And they time, you know, on that little segment, that sponsor was shown 1.7 seconds. And they add all this up for the whole race, and then they multiply that times if you would have, they compare it to if you'd purchased a commercial during the race and how much coverage you get commercial versus the coverage you got during the race. And then they turn that into the sponsors to show them, yeah, you're getting your money's worth. And you made out like a bandit today because they talked about you so much. So in comparison, is the sponsor getting their value? I would think so. So,
well, that's,
it's really neat to look at it those ways.
Well, I agree with you. And I guess you summed it up by saying that. He's the team owner. He can do what he wants. I guess it just goes back to, you are the team owner. You might can do what you want, but that doesn't mean you should always do what you want. So I guess that's the way it is. Walter Cox, good friend of the show, certainly one of our favorites, ESPN pit reporter out at Richmond at the 3/4 mile. History is going to be made today. Walter, who wins tonight in NASCAR?
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to pick the one standing at the gate, Jeff Gordon.
All right, buddy. Walter Cox, we love you, man. Anything that we haven't touched on, anything you want to talk about that we haven't mentioned, anything you want to talk about at all?
Yes, Danica is still driving, and she hasn't slapped anybody.
I love it. On that note, Walter, you have yourself a good day. Enjoy down there at Richmond. We'll be waving at you as the cars go by in the pit area there.
It's an honor to be on the show, and shout out to all the peeps out there. Thanks, Tom.
All right, buddy. Walter Cox, ESPN pit reporter. We love having him on the show, and we don't get to have him on as much as we'd like to have him on. But I tell you what, he brings it when he comes, and he's down at Richmond right now. Certainly had a great conversation with him. Stand by, guys. We'll be right back. College Football Saturday is back, and that's right, one Elizabeth the Greek. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Started out summer fun, chasing Allie Brooke with a water gun. She'd laugh and she'd scream, she'd run and say, "You can't catch me."
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Bodu blib, bobu gib, bodwa da, du da, dwa ma. Hey, that bird? Oh, what's it up? Mm-hmm. Una, two.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. What a great conversation it was to have Walter on with us. We have him on from time to time, ESPN pit reporter down there at Michigan. Hey, it's College Football Saturday. That's right, my minions. It is time for some college football. I'll tell you what, today is a great day if you want to be a college football fan. And I'm going to tell you what, I got some stuff to do today, but I'm hoping to get home in time to watch me some football. Because you know what? Today is Notre Dame and Michigan.
The University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
That's right, Notre Dame and Michigan. It's Army, and it's that's right, IU and Army. You know what? I'm torn between this game, and we're going to break it all down here in just a moment. All of the games, but I tell you what, I love IU, obviously, but I love to watch Army. I love to watch West Point. I'm a huge Army fan, and one of my favorite games of the year is the Army-Navy game. That's just a a fantastic game to watch every year. So we're going to talk about that game. It's Michigan, Army-Navy. Obviously, Purdue takes the field. They got a game today as well, and I'm sure you all know what that is. We're going to talk about that. Purdue coming up with a shellacking against the Cincinnati Bearcats last week down in Cincinnati, and they are ready to, wow. You know, I hope this that last week with Purdue was not something of what is to come, because I was highly disappointed in the performance of the Purdue Boilermakers. Evan Williams couldn't join us today. He's out at the first home game tailgating. I think he was just a little embarrassed. Jimmy the intern, he's calling the volleyball game. That's right, man. He's got a moonlight somehow, and so he's doing that. So it's just you and I. You and I, my minions. You want to talk some college football, 917-889-8516. That's 917-889-8516. Now, if you want to become a Minion fan, a Minion of the Balance Show, all you got to do is go to Facebook and hit like, and you become a Minion. It's that easy, and we would love to have you as a Minion. Follow us on Twitter, T-Balance, or over on our sister www.IndyProSports.com. Follow us on Twitter, Pro Indy, and of course on Facebook, IndyProSports.com. Well, you know what? I am honored to be the your host and your El Presidente, because what I am about to go into is a segment that we're going to do on College Football Saturday every Saturday. It's a tradition here at The Balance. If you've not met Elizabeth the Greek, well, she is back. Elizabeth the Greek makes her picks for the college football games every week, and typically we talk about those games with our panel, but we'll be talking about those games ourselves here, and then we're going to be gearing up for some NFL talk from 10 to 11, 10:30. We do have Rich Knight from WTHR Sports. He just sent me a text, says he'll be coming on at 10:30 to be breaking down the Colts, so we're going to be trying to mix in some fantasy football huddle in the mix there with all of that this week. But don't worry, guys, we will get you set up for some fantasy football as well. So that's all coming up. So without further ado, welcome back, if you will, to The Balance, Elizabeth the Greek.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Top Mom T.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're my role model.
It's time for
Remarkable.
Elizabeth the Greek.
Those words, they have power.
Well, Elizabeth, it is 2013. We are going into, I think, your third or fourth year of doing this. You're 5 years old now, so let's get into it for 2013. Start off with some football games. We've got Daddy's alma mater versus Mommy's alma mater. Do you go with the Indiana State Sycamores or the Purdue Boilermakers?
Purdue Boilermakers.
The Purdue Boilermakers. Do we go with the Washington State Cougars or the number 25 USC Trojans?
The Trojans.
The USC Trojans. Down to the SEC. The number 6 South Carolina Gamecocks or the number 11 Georgia Bulldogs?
Georgia Bulldogs.
The Georgia Bulldogs. Another great game. We've got the number 2 Oregon Ducks versus the Virginia Cavaliers.
Quack.
The Ducks? You're going to go with the number 2 Oregon Ducks. All right, a big game in our house. Well, it's not too big because only one side gets rooted for. Do you go with the number 14 Notre Dame Fighting Irish or the number 17 Michigan Wolverines?
Notre Dame.
That's right. Moving on to the NFL. We have a first game on Sunday. Do you go with the New England Patriots or the Buffalo Bills?
Buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills. Another afternoon game. Do you go with the Minnesota Vikings or the Detroit Lions?
The Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings. On to an afternoon game. We have the Arizona Cardinals or the St. Louis Rams? You're going to go with the St. Louis Rams. Sunday night, we have the New York Football Giants or the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys. And finally, for Monday night, we have the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Washington Redskins.
Washington Redskins.
The Washington Redskins. And who picked those?
Elizabeth the Great. Then over to my channel on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek.
All right, Elizabeth the Greek, welcome back to The Balance. So glad that you can bring us your predictions, and hopefully, I tell you what, she's been dead on, and make sure you go to her Facebook. Michelle's going to be getting it up on our Twitter and all of our social media outlets and sharing that, but go to her Facebook and like her. I tell you what, incredible young lady. We'd love having her on. I tell you what, 5 years old. And as you heard, she's been doing it for a few years now. Obviously, that's her dad, Pete LaFuchsia, who helps put that together, and many, many credits to him as well. Elizabeth the Greek, 2013, welcome back to The Balance. And obviously, we'll have her on every Saturday. She's one of our favorites right here on The Balance. Well, you know, she talked about a lot of the games there, both college and NFL. We'll try to touch on as many of those as we possibly can. We've got a few more minutes of college football Saturday. We're going to move on it over to the NFL. That's right, the NFL. College football, NFL is back, and Peyton Manning had a heck of a game on Thursday, so we're going to talk about that. But I tell you what, one of the great games that I want to talk about today, and we're certainly going to get into IU and Army, and we'll try to get into the Purdue-Indiana State game, hopefully. I mean, it's Indiana State. Let's hope that Purdue can redeem themselves after last week's just ass-kicking. We'll just call it that. Call it what it is from the Cincinnati Bearcats. Wow. You know, I knew Cincinnati was a good team and certainly did not – think that Purdue could really beat them. And as you remember, we talked about it right here on the show here, how tough of a team that the Cincinnati Bearcats was, but had no idea that they were going to do what they did to Purdue last week. So hopefully they've shaken that off and they're able to redeem themselves against Indiana State. If they can't beat the Indiana State Sycamores, then we've got some more things to talk about here on The Balance. But whether it's Notre Dame is chickening out or selling out for bigger or better, whether Michigan is sore for losing its third biggest to its third biggest rivalry, or sore that it's getting burned by an old foe, one thing is true: one game does matter, and that is today. Michigan and Notre Dame, they've been going at it for a long time. Two rival teams. You know, Michigan has two really well-known rivals, and that's Ohio State. Yeah. And Michigan hates Ohio State. Ohio State hates Michigan. I got that confused. Michigan absolutely despises Ohio State. I mean, it's like crossing enemy lines there. You do not go to Michigan wearing an Ohio State jersey, and you do not go to Ohio State wearing a Michigan jersey. But same holds true between Notre Dame and Michigan, but not quite as bad. Michigan and Notre Dame first met in 1887. According to Notre Dame and Michigan student publications of the time, Michigan football team taught Notre Dame how to play and explain the rules and regulations after admiring the artwork of Notre Dame, of course. University of Michigan, still a new college, and its own understanding of the game, traveled to South Bend on a whim while waiting for another game to be rescheduled. Now, the Wolverines won that game, and Michigan and Michigan's paper, the Chronicle, remarked the grounds were very poor and very poor condition for playing, being covered with snow and in melted condition. The players could scarcely keep their feet warm. Some time had been spent in the preliminary practice. The game began after rolling and tumbling in the mud for a half an hour finally was called. The score was 8-0 in the favor of University of Michigan. It was back in 1887. So, you know, good game on tap there. Obviously, you know, that's just one of many games that are going on today. And we want to talk a little bit about the Michigan-Notre Dame game. What are your thoughts on that? Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's break that down. It's going to be a good game. I tell you what, we've got NASCAR, we've got some college football, and it's all being geared up because tomorrow NFL – well, it started officially on Thursday, but tomorrow the Colts play, and it's in full season, especially if you're in fantasy football. Well, let's do this again. The Irish return to the big house for the final scheduled time and for just the second night game in the stadium's history. Three touchdowns in the final 72 seconds highlighted a wild 2011 contest played before the biggest crowd in NCAA history. This year's winner will have an early track toward the BCS Bowl berth. And obviously, we'll be talking a lot about the BCS Bowl. And can they get it right this year? Well, sometimes they do. You know, I think they got it right last year. Certainly, I feel like they got it right in the national championship. But we talk about Notre Dame. Notre Dame was just not – they just was not able to put it together in the national championship game. But it was well, – how awesome was it to see that happen? Well, Brian Kelly and his squad do take on Michigan today, and again, this is a rivalry. You throw out all the record books, although we don't really have anything in the records for this year to throw out, but you throw it all out because Michigan and Notre Dame do battle today, and it's going to be. I tell you what, Michigan and Notre Dame, like I mentioned earlier, is a huge rivalry that dates back all the way back to 1887, just 2 years after the first gas automobile was developed. It's also the same year the Hall of Fame hurler Walter Johnson was born, and the same year Walter Cox was born. I wish he'd have been on. Why couldn't I have thought of that earlier when I had him on? Of course, he just had a birthday this year. It was at the 2 years after the Eiffel Tower opened up. Idaho was also 3 years from being named a state. So this is an old rivalry. Today, Michigan's quarterback, Devin Gardner's only previous experience against the Irish came when he had three receptions for 40 yards in last season's loss. Gardner threw two interceptions last week against Central Michigan, but had three touchdowns, two on the ground. The backfield behind him, however, took a hit. Redshirt freshman running back Drake Johnson tore his ACL against the Chippewas was after being listed at number two tailback in the Michigan depth chart. So I tell you what, the highly touted freshman Derek Green, who rushed for 58 yards and a touchdown in his first game, will now move up to the number two seed behind the starter. So we look at that game, good game, Michigan, Notre Dame going into Michigan, both of them coming in at 1-0, and Michigan 1-0 at home. 8 o'clock tonight, going to be over there at Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor. I had an opportunity a couple years ago. We were out there at a Michigan race, and we were down there, and we happened to stay in Ann Arbor, and so made a stop one evening, and it was really cool. We got some pictures and stuff of us out there in front of the big house. Really a magnificent football stadium. Notre Dame, Michigan, my official prediction, if you will. I know Michigan fans are going to hate me for this, but Notre Dame takes this. I think that they've got to make a statement, and I think that Michigan has a lot of uncertainties coming into this game. I really like what Brian Kelly's been able to do with Notre Dame. I think that they come into this game with some confidence and some momentum and something to prove from losing the national championship game. They come in and win this game by a touchdown, and I really do believe that it comes out to be and maybe even closer than that, a field goal. But my official prediction, Notre Dame wins 21-14. All right, talking about some more Big Ten games, Wisconsin at Tennessee Tech, probably not a big game for Wisconsin. You know, certainly after cruising to a 45-0 win against UMass in their first game under the new under new coach Gary Anderson, the Badgers take an FCS squad in week two. Again, Tennessee Tech is going to give some good experience to them in playing a powerhouse team like Wisconsin. Certainly we look at them but going into a BCS bowl type game. So Wisconsin, not a big issue. Number 21, Wisconsin going against unranked Tennessee Tech. I think that if you're a safe better, if you're trying to bet conservatively on this game, take Wisconsin. You should be fair on that. Now let's look at number 12, Florida going over at Miami. Florida University and Miami, interstate rivalry going on there. Certainly another old rivalry that is renewed down south in South Beach. Now these teams look to take one step closer to winning the Florida State Championship game, I should say, between the two of them. We saw a lot of rushing for both teams in their prospective openers, but the pressure will be on both passing games. Saturday, Florida has the luxury of getting key starters Luchez Prefe and Matt Jones back as well. And here's the thing: Florida will win one for Tebow this week, so we're gonna. Go with the Gators over the mighty Hurricane. Number 24, TCU versus Southeastern Louisiana. Now, here's going to be your upset of the day. A lot of people obviously think TCU can easily handle Southeastern Louisiana. You heard it here first down in Fort Worth, Texas. Southeast Louisiana will they'll take it, because I tell you what, the Horned Frogs hung with the LSU but couldn't pull the upset. Gary Peterson pulled Casey Bachel back for Trevon Boykin and his rushing talents, but says Pacelli will again get the start this Saturday playing Southeast Louisiana. A lot of people think that, again, this is like Purdue and Indiana State. But Southeast Louisiana is a very good team, a very strong team, and a very stable team. Do not be surprised if you see the upset there as well. Also, Oklahoma State at UTSA. Oklahoma State, relatively easy. Another interstate rivalry going on here of number 8 Louisville against Eastern Kentucky. Guys, again, another team here that you could see an upset here. I really think that Louisville has the weapons to make it happen, but certainly if Eastern Kentucky can force some turnovers, and if Eastern Kentucky can control that end zone line and their special teams and defense come to work, I think Eastern Kentucky has the components to make it work and to beat Louisville. You could see another surprise upset here, Eastern Kentucky and Louisville. Number 4, Clemson and South Carolina State. Great game tonight. This afternoon. Clemson, South Carolina. Guys, this is going to be a must-watch game as well. I tell you what, any questions surrounding Clemson's legitimacy, you might as well give it up as a national contender. I just think that Clemson is a strong team. Clemson wins this game against South Carolina State. Number 2, Oregon at Virginia. Guys, here's another upset. We're going to see a ranked team go down again from Virginia. The Cavaliers are a great team. They're a good, solid team. Oregon is a good team as well. Obviously, they're ranked number 2 for a reason. But we're going to start seeing some of these ranked teams go down. And this is going to be one of those. And Virginia Cavaliers are a great team. Great team to watch. And so there again, I think that could be another surprise upset. And, you know, I'm El Presidente. Let's just see how many of these I get right. I promise you, you'll be hearing about it on Twitter, on T-Balance as well. Number 3, Ohio State versus San Diego State. I like San Diego State a lot. I don't think they have enough umph in them to get the triumph, if you will, against number 3, Ohio State. I certainly would, if I was a betting man, go conservatively with Ohio State. But I can tell you what, I wouldn't be shocked, per se, if San Diego State did beat Ohio State. But I think there's just too much on the line going down forward for a BCS win for Ohio State to let this one slip by, guys. Ohio State wins this one. Number 23, Baylor versus Buffalo. Guys, another good game in the mixer, but Baylor wins this one. I don't think you're going to have much of a problem there. Georgia Number 11, Georgia against number 6, South Carolina. Georgia wins this one, over our number 18. Number 19, Northwestern versus Syracuse. Northwestern, we saw them last year really make a name for themselves to get ranked. I think they have a lot to. All right, and there momentarily, I do think that we lost our feed for just a moment, but I think we're back here, guys. So if we dropped off from you there for a minute, we totally apologize. Sometimes there's just some things that go crazy. So I think we're back on. I hope that we're back on. So we're just going to continue to keep going on with this show. I'm not sure what's causing all of this to happen over the last couple of weeks. But you know what? Hey, it is what it is, and we move forward. That's just the beauty of live radio. 917-889-8516. Call us if you want to talk some college football. But we're about ready to break into some NFL. We're just about 15 minutes away from Sparky. Sparky's going to be out at Lucas Oil Stadium, home of the Colts, game opener against the Raiders. We're also going to talk about that magnificent game that won. Number 18, Peyton Manning had. He just tore it up. You've heard me talk about it and tease about it throughout the entire show. And I tell you what, it is time that we get into. So we're going to be breaking into that 10:30 at the bottom of the hour here. We have Rich Nye, beat reporter for WTHR and the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to be breaking down what we can look for from our Indianapolis Colts. Want to thank all of our friends out at Indiana Talks for taking some time to run us every Saturday, guys. We really appreciate you. If you're listening to us on Indiana Talks between 3 and 5, make sure you guys listen to Indiana Talks, as they are the leading internet radio provider. So whether or not you like sports or whether you like political talk, they have a little bit of both for you. So, guys, we're going to get right into it. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. And again, 917-889-8516 is the digits. Follow us on Twitter, T-Balance, or become a Balance Minion like so many have before you by just going to Facebook and search The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right after this.
You and I have history, or don't you remember? Sure, she's got it all. But baby, is that really what you want? Bless your soul, you got your head in the clouds. You made a fool out of you.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
Weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday. It was chillier last Sunday. Absolutely. But it's been nice.
Ain't no 50 degree right here now.
Well, they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
You look cold.
It's 22 degrees out. It's sleeting.
So much for no rain, huh?
Minions, welcome back to the Balance. My name's Sean Marquis. We've come to that time of the show where we talk NFL and nothing but NFL and fantasy football. We're going to tie everything in together. Typically, we have our fantasy football huddle, but today we're going to kind of mix things up a little bit. You know, we got to keep things interesting around here, right? Because we want to give plenty of time for Rich Nye of WTHR talk with us and help us break down the Colts opener tomorrow, because obviously, as you know, we're based here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and obviously being featured on Indiana Talks. We want to give some time to the Colts, some love to our Colts. Guys, I'm going to tell you what, I know we miss Peyton Manning, and we'll get into this conversation in just a few minutes, but I'm happy that we got luck. But I look at Peyton Manning on Thursday, that game that was delayed by lightning, thought we weren't going to have it for a while. You stayed up late. You weren't disappointed. Fantasy football owners can never be disappointed in Peyton Manning, but especially this week. Come on, Peyton. Wow, he tore it up. Lightning warning that delayed the start of the NFL season opener was a bit premature because the lightning was on the field, especially in the second half. An embarrassing loss to the Baltimore Ravens, which, by the way, are Super Bowl contending champions. And, you know, we got names like Ray Rice, but I tell you what I think really was the momentum shifter, if you will, was the right there where the special teams blocked that kick by the Ravens. The momentum started changing there. It was a little weird seeing Dallas Clark in a Ravens uniform. What was even more weird than that was actually see Dallas Clark, my hero, my idol, the guy I have a man crush on. And yes, he plays for the Ravens, but it was even weirder was the fact that he actually dropped a ball. We don't see Dallas Clark drop balls, you know, and but hopefully they bounce back off of that. I tell you what, another welcome back here. Welcome back to football. Can we get an amen? Mr. Sparky, are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am. What's going on?
I are you there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had the right line for you. So I had a couple lines there lit up, so I wanted to make sure I had your line there. Sparky on the road. Sparky, Super Colts fan. Guys, give you a little bit of background. Sparky's been on the show talk about home games with the Indianapolis Colts for a while now. And we've got a great picture of Sparky. And Sparky, I know you have a partner. And what's their name? Are you there, Brian? Hello? Go ahead. You have a partner in your super fan. Who's that?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I have my Bluetooth on. It's not working.
Well, it doesn't work with Obama phones, buddy. So, all right, what I was saying is we've got a great picture of you and your Super Colts fan partner who you traveled to Indianapolis from really Chicago Bears land every home game. Who's your partner there with you?
That would be my fiance. Her nickname is Little Bluesy.
Little Bluesy. Now, I'll tell you what, I love it. I think it's great, but I don't know that I give my fiance the nickname Little Bluesy, but hey, I love it. It's great.
That was Superfan's idea. That was Superfan that came up with that.
I love Superfan too, man. I see him out and about, and I yell at him from time to time. We've got your picture up on our social media, and guys, okay. Get out there to Lucas Oil, and if you see these two mugs, go up there and get a picture with them. All right, Sparky, we've got the Raiders coming into town. Let's talk about that. Game opener. The fans are ready. What's going on in fan land with Supercoach Fan? Are you guys ready for some football to be back? Are you guys ready for the Indianapolis Colts? Are you ready for a preseason game number 5? Because I think we're not going to have any problems against the Oakland Raiders.
Oakland Raiders are projected to be the worst team in the NFL this year. They're already on their fourth left tackle. And, I mean, it's, you know, they got Terrell Pryor, quarterback, guy's inexperienced. You know, he's not that good of a passer. He's more of a, you know, scrambling running back. We should have no problem with this game whatsoever. This should be another preseason game.
Well, obviously, Oakland has struggled a little bit in finding the answer in their quarterback. I think that we have found our answer in Andrew Luck. And you know, I'm not going to ask you to get into any analytical aspect from the media aspect, but I do want to talk with you from the fan aspect of it. Obviously, being a Super Colts fan and a fan of Peyton Manning for years, you had to be excited to see what Peyton Manning was able to do against the Baltimore Ravens on Thursday night.
Yeah, that was just completely unbelievable. I mean, he only had six. That seventh one was just kind of a screen pass that he, you know, took to the house for like 60, 70 yards. But I mean, I still rather have the next 10, 12, 15 years, whatever, with Andrew Luck than have, you know, a couple years left with Peyton. I mean, you know, it's great to see that he's doing good, and you know, he's still, you know, I mean, the guy's 37 years old. He's still playing like he's in his, you know, mid-20s, late-20s. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I don't think it's ever going to stop. I mean, he's on a different level than everyone else, and it's just unbelievable what he's doing at this age.
Well, you got to ask yourself, will he ever manifest himself as a mere mortal? I mean, unbelievable. He just tore it up, and for fantasy football fans, you probably saw your score spike up to about 67 points. That is incredible. Of course, we talk about Peyton Manning, what he was able to do on the field. And just he obviously became one of the leading touchdown. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I know you're driving from Illinois, but Peyton Manning became certainly one of the leading touchdown passers of all history there, if you will. Incredible performance by him. I tell you what. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You know, like I said, Peyton Manning, I think I texted you, Peyton Manning just threw his 437th regular season touchdown pass, most among active players. It's also 103 more than one Tom, a.k.a. Gay Brady. So what were your thoughts about the game there?
Yeah, you know, I knew that the Ravens ain't the same Super Bowl team. I mean, they lost 22 starters. You know, I mean, you can say what you want. I mean, that team was a defensive team. You know, they always were a defensive team. And now, you know, they got a great defensive line right now, but their secondary and their linebackers, I mean, the only linebacker they got is Terrell Suggs, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I knew that game was going to be a blowout, but I would have never said that Peyton was going to throw seven touchdowns. I thought maybe, you know, three, four, you know, possibly five, but seven, that's just unreal. And, you know, then now they lost their Michael Orr and Jacoby Jones to injuries. I mean, so that team's just hurting even more. And, you know, they're not the same Super Bowl team we've seen back in February at all.
Right, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, our good friend Bob Kravitz mentioned that the Colts were right to pick Andrew Luck over Peyton Manning. So, you know, I know that resonates a lot of sensitive issues, but now that we've watched Peyton Manning play on Thursday night and Andrew Luck has had some great success, Bob Kravitz says that Peyton Manning was brilliant on Thursday, but still the Colts made the right decision to pick Andrew Luck over Peyton Manning. Thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, like I said before, I'd rather have the next 10, 12, 15 years, however long he's going to be there, as compared to the next, you know, 3 years of an elite quarterback. Plus, I mean, you never knew coming off that neck surgery how he would be. But I think we all kind of, all the true Colt fans and, you know, the true Peyton fans knew the way, you know, Peyton was going to come back from this injury. I mean, it wasn't even going to face him. And, I mean, he almost, you know, he had an MVP last season, and this season, I mean, he's already had one heck of a start to this season being an MVP. And it, you know, he just won't quit. He's just, you know, I'd still rather take Luck over Manning. I mean, I really truly believe that Luck, you know, by the time it's all said and done, we're not going to forget about Manning, but, you know, Luck's going to be another, you know, it's going to be another legacy. I mean, it's, you know, it's the start of something special, and, you know, he's going to go down in Colts Hall of Fame, and he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. I really, truly do believe that. And we're not going to forget about Peyton, but it's going to be one of those things where I think he's going to break every Peyton record.
Well, it's certainly too early to tell. So, I mean, I will tell you this much. Andrew Luck has the capability of definitely being another Peyton Manning, if there ever could be, and certainly has the markings of a future Hall of Fame quarterback, that's for sure. But the Colts are very...
I'd rather have a young Colt than an old Bronco, so, you know.
I love that, man. I'm going to put that quote up. We would rather have a young and Michelle put that up on our tweet there. We would rather have a young Colt than an old Bronco. Go Colts! I love it. That's fantastic. we're gonna quote Sparky the super fan. I'd rather have a young Colt.
I'm gonna give that to Travis Hyde because he just texted me. He's right behind me. That was his quote.
All right, who's ever quote it was? We'd rather Michelle will get that up on our social media. We'd rather have a young Colt than an old Bronco. Go Colts! Well, certainly the Colts are very confident heading into their opener. As we look at the Indianapolis Colts and the Oakland Raiders, what are you as the fans looking at from the Colts other than a win? What are some of the things that you guys are looking for your Colts to perform tomorrow against the Oakland Raiders?
I don't think it's really going to do any, you know, kind of justice to, like, really, like, take tomorrow. I mean, you know, after a win, because, you know, if we lose, we're in trouble against Oakland. I mean, you know, come on, that's, you know, no way. But I really don't think it's going to do no justice. I believe that our defense, with all the experience of, you know, we have young people on the defense, but I believe with all the talent that we have on the defense this year, I believe that we're going to be in the top five defenses of the year. And I, you know, tomorrow it's not really going to do any justice to see, you know, us just crush the Raiders and, you know, hold them to under 10 points or, you know, a field goal or something like that. I mean, it's not, we have to play somebody a little bit better to show, like, what our defense can really do. And as far as our offense, I mean, I'm predicting right now the score's going to be, we're going to score, you know, somewhere in the 30s, and they're going to end up with 10 or under.
All right, so Super Coast fan Sparky, we got your picture up on our social media. Look for him out at Lucas Oil. Get your picture taken with him. Certainly, you cannot miss him. He is the giant 8-foot guy with a hard hat. You can't miss him and the rest of the Superfans crew out there at Lucas Oil Stadium tomorrow. Real quickly, and we got to get into some about 5 minutes of fantasy football talk, and then we're going to have Rich Nye on for WTHR. So real quickly, Sparky, any final thoughts or sentiments for the Indianapolis Colts fans in Game 1, home opener against the Oakland Raiders?
If anybody out there is listening that is going to the game, I mean, we've talked to other people from other teams, and they say that we have the least noisiest stadium in the NFL. We need to change that. You know, and we need to get allowed. You know, it just seems like we're a bunch of the old fans in there that don't want to get up and cheer for our team except for on third down. We need to be up, like, every down, cheering out of our seats. I mean, I want to go home on Monday. I don't want to be able to talk. You know, I want to be able to, my throat be scratchy and everything. And you know, that's the way it should be every you know Monday when you wake up if you went to a Colts game. You know, it needs to be loud in there. We need to get them up out of our seats and we need to cheer our team on.
Absolutely. Well, Super Colts fan. Sparky, so glad that you guys could join us. I hope you have a safe trip here to Indianapolis, and we'll be catching up with you, hopefully, at least every Saturday before every home game throughout the season in 2013.
Absolutely.
All right. Sparky, the Super Colts fan, look him up out there at Lucas Oil Stadium. You cannot miss him while you're tailgating. Get your picture taken with him, autograph, what have you. He certainly leads the charge in bringing the fans into the stadium and getting them ready for the Oakland Raiders. Well, guys, real quickly, we got about 5 minutes or so here, and then we're going to be joined by Rich Nye of WTHR to talk more about the Colts. And breaking that down. All right, guys, starting him, set him. Jared Calhoun's in Mexico with his new wife. So we're going to, on their honeymoon, so we're going to give him a break off of that $2 bill. Josh is in Disney World with his family. So my family's right here on the Balance Radio Network. I'm El Presidente. My family is my minions. Well, I tell you what, one thing for sure, fantasy football is all about putting the best lineup on a weekly basis. This sometimes means that you need to bench players that you're counting on to produce a lot this season. You know, one of the things about being a fantasy football owner, we often fall in love with high draft picks in fantasy football. They feel like someone selected in the first five rounds would be a consistent starter every week and will only need removal in a bye week. You know, really, that simply is not true. A good fantasy player is an active one who is unafraid to make tough decisions based on the matchups and other factors. These highly rated stars should stick on your bench for week one, assuming that you could replace them. So, who to start, who to set in week one? Now, if you've had if you've had players on Thursday night, obviously you can't go back and change that. If you missed it, well, you just flat out missed it. We got just a few more minutes here, but start Cam Newton, Carolina Panthers quarterback. Start running back Ed Lacy, Green Bay Packers. Start Mike Wallace, wide receiver of the Miami Dolphins. Start Owen Daniels, tight end of the Houston Texans. Those are some players that I would definitely start. Now, if you want to. My set him this week, Carson Palmer. I have him on my team as well. I'm going to set him this week as well. Ryan Matthews, Lamar Miller, Ahmad Bradshaw. Good to have him as a Colts. I think he's going to make a lot of impact, but I think this week you need to let him sit on the bench a little bit. Daphon Austin, Steve Smith, Jermichael Finley. And if you got the San Francisco 49ers defense, go ahead and set them as they go against the Green Bay Packers. Well, guys, I wish that we had more time to talk about some fantasy football. Unfortunately, we've got to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to be breaking down more of the Colts And the Raiders, as we get ready for game one, and we're going to be talking with Rich Nye of WTHR Sports. Rich Nye, the sports guy, is going to be joining us here in just a few moments. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Gangnam Style.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Our final segment of the show, rounding things off, and obviously, it's NFL weekend. Can we get it? Amen, brother. NFL has started officially on Thursday, and we saw Peyton Manning light it up out there in Denver. Guys, as I just said with Sparky Super Colts fan, maybe Peyton Manning number 18 is a mere not a mortal, not one among us, not just someone to be admired and worshipped. Joining us now, another man that should be admired and worshipped is Mr. Rich Nye. Rich Nye, the sports guy of WTHR Sports. How you doing, sir?
That
welcome
might
back
be the best introduction I've ever gotten. Thank you.
Hey, man, put it in your books for when you get roasted sometime in your life.
Yes.
Hey, Rich, I'm glad that you took some time. Obviously, a very busy weekend for you, getting ready for the Indianapolis Colts and the Oakland Raiders home opener. And we look at that game. What a great game it was against Peyton Manning. We'll talk about that game just briefly here, obviously because it's Peyton Manning and because we've got to talk about Kravitz, because you either love him or hate him, and it just depends on the week. And maybe a lot of people hate him this week because after watching Peyton Manning, a lot of people were saying, whoa, we should have kept Manning instead of drafting Luck. We also made a quote here on the show earlier. We'd rather have a young Colt than an old Bronco. So you look at Peyton Manning really just tearing it up Thursday night against the Baltimore Ravens. And really, we look at that, we could say game one may be, but Peyton Manning is definitely back.
Oh, definitely. I think that the guy has shown just how hard he's worked to get back into the physical shape. And his body has fortunately cooperated with him. He's 37 years old, so you don't know how many more years he's got left, but as long as he can stay healthy and not take some kind of big shot that causes an unexpected injury, he may have another 3-4 years. If he wants to play till he's 40, he could probably do that now that he's healthy again. But we know what kind of, you know, physical contact this league involves, and it wouldn't take more than probably one shot that might, you know, change everything. But right now he's playing as well as he's ever played probably.
Well, absolutely, and one would think that maybe he will retire as a Bronco, but will he go into the Hall of Fame as a Colt?
I hope so. This is where his career started. He played 14 seasons here, really only played 13 because he sat out one, but he's never going to play another 13 or 14 in Denver. And the only thing that might possibly change that is if he somehow got to multiple Super Bowls on the tail end of his career with the Broncos and won those Super Bowls, then somehow maybe that would change it. But I would think that he would go into the Hall of Fame as a Colt.
Right, absolutely. Now, let's move on over to the Colts because I know your time is very busy here. Obviously, home opener against the Indianapolis Colts and the Oakland Raiders, and we look at that game, and Oakland has kind of struggled with their identity a lot, but certainly in this preseason, and it looks like they're going with Pryor as their quarterback, not Tebow. But Oakland Raiders. And that was a joke. We know that. Just for those who aren't following the joke, Tebow is not with the Oakland Raiders. Although he might be the first quarterback to play with all of the NFL teams, but he'll never be with the Colts. But anyway, Lucas Oil Stadium tomorrow, 1 o'clock. The Raiders come in to town against the Colts, both obviously 0-0. But I think that the Colts have every right to be very confident going into their home opener.
Well, they have their schedule set up that they are set up for a great start. You've got to win at home against the Oakland Raiders, and then you come back with a second home game against the Miami Dolphins. So not only are you playing two beatable teams, but you're playing them at home. So the schedule sets up beautifully for the Colts to get off to a great start, and they have to win these two games if they want to go where they hope to go this year, and that's back to the playoffs. These are two very winnable games and two games that you have to win. As you just documented, the Raiders aren't sure who their quarterback is. I don't think they picked Terrell Pryor as their starter. I think they decided he was the best of two bad options at quarterback for the Raiders. And I think the Colts are in position to win this opener, and they should win it fairly handily.
Well, absolutely, and like I said, they have all kinds of reason to be confident. And we have Chuck Pagano back on the sidelines, a fantastic story from last year. And they had a honeymoon season last year, so hopefully Andrew Luck won't have that sophomore slump. But had a great camp, had some preseason wins, which we are very not used to seeing as Colts fans. We don't see the Colts win in the preseason. So they showed some good opportunity in the preseason and had some great wins. So really, really excited to see what the Colts are going to be this year. But one game at a time. So what's the game plan for the Indianapolis Colts to come away with a victory tomorrow afternoon?
Well, I think the interesting thing to watch with the Colts tomorrow is this running game, and how does Ahmad Bradshaw fit into that running game? Because he's the guy who was brought in here to bring a little punch, a little power to that Colts running game, but he has not played yet. He sat out the entire preseason precautionary as he comes back from foot surgery in the offseason. But he's supposed to be, I think, the main part of this running game. You still have Vic Ballard. You still have Donald Brown. So they have a very good options to go with, but Ahmad Bradshaw is the guy who was supposed to come in here and help the Colts establish a more balanced attack with Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator, and we've yet to see Ahmad at all in the preseason, so it'll be our first look at him tomorrow to see how much the Colts can effectively run the football. And the other big part of that is the offensive line. The only injury question going into this opener is Anthony Costanzo. He came to practice late in the week and is expected to start tomorrow. But the offensive line is a place on the Colts roster that has been completely revamped. You've got at least three new starters on opening day. And so how well is that offensive line going to run block? And also how well are they going to protect Andrew Luck? Andrew Luck got sacked 41 times last year. He's a very mobile quarterback. I don't mind seeing him run the football when he's got an opening. But 41 sacks is a lot of punishment that a young body can take, but you don't want to continue to have your quarterback take those kind of hits. Just ask Robert Griffin III.
Well, absolutely. And I think that that Gresson and Irsay and the entire front office have made some good decisions to protect Andrew Luck on that line. What were your thoughts about our draft this year? And do you think they've taken the right steps in the offseason in picking up free agents and signing the people they have to protect young Andrew Luck?
Well, obviously the Colts made as big a splash in free agency as any team in the National Football League this past offseason. And they did it in a way that is completely revamped their defense. I think, if memory serves me right here, it's six new starters tomorrow for the defense. And I think all those arrive through free agency. You've got a defensive secondary that I think could be a strength of the Colts defense, which I can't ever remember saying that the Colts secondary on defense was a strength. They obviously went out and drafted another pass rusher in Bjorn Werner. We'll see if he can be. I don't know that as a rookie he's going to make a huge impact this year, but they spent a lot of money. Mr. Irsay opened up his wallet and spent a lot of money, and I know he's expecting results and expecting the Colts to be a contender this year immediately.
Well, absolutely, and I think one of the things that the Colts have to do is really establish their running game. I know Andrew Luck has a huge, huge passing ability, and during camp we heard Pep Hamilton mention that Andrew Luck has huge passing ability, but he also talked about how the Indianapolis Colts are going to be a power running team during training camp. But we look at, they picked up Ahmad Bradshaw in the offseason. Great pickup, but Vic Ballard's really been able to come in there and fill that gap. One would think they didn't draft Bradshaw to sit on the bench, so Ballard's time might be limited. But I think they need to use both of these guys to really establish the running game. Is that something that we need to be concerned about, or are we making more out of the running game with the Colts than we need to be because we're used to Peyton Manning?
Well, I think in today's NFL, if you've got a great quarterback, you're in a good situation, and I think the Colts have a great quarterback. But you've got to be able to run the ball when you need to run the ball. And I'm not as sold that you need to have such a balanced attack as maybe has been talked about, but you've got to be able to get a third and two with a run. You've got to be able to pick up a fourth and one with a run. And there were times in the past with the Colts that you just didn't have the confidence that they could do that. Or if it was fourth and one, they were as likely to throw the ball as run the ball. And I think they just want to be able to be honest, keep teams honest with the run, and teams believe that they can run the ball when they want to or when they need to. Or if they're going to, you know, drop everybody back in coverage and force you to run the ball, that you can do that, and you can do it with some confidence and some consistency. I think they've got a pretty good lineup with Ahmad Bradshaw, Vic Ballard, and I don't discount Donald Brown. I think Donald Brown has played fairly well the past couple of years, and I think that you'll see him continue to be effective this season, particularly on third down passing situations. I think he gives you a good guy to pick up a blitz, but he also is a good guy out of the backfield to catch and run the football. So I think that he's still going to be a part of this offense as well.
Well,
of course, the thing we haven't talked about is they added a fullback. I mean, that's a huge part of this offense now, is that they've got a fullback permanently on this offense, and you're going to see a lot of I formation.
That's a great point, and the reason why we don't talk about a fullback with the Colts, because we're not used to talking about a fullback with the Colts. And if you're a Colts fan, you're like, what is a fullback? What do they do? Exactly. I understand. Well, let's talk a little bit about the injuries. We look at Anger being diagnosed with a concussion. Obviously, that's something the NFL is taking very seriously, so they're going to take their time about getting him back into the lineup. Anthony Costanzo is great there. I think that he's certainly redeveloping, but the injuries, how affected are we by injuries, and are we going to even see that effect in tomorrow's game against the Raiders?
I think the Colts are about as healthy as you can be going into a football season. No major injury concerns. Costanzo, again, coming back off a sprained MCL in the preseason, but he's practiced this week and should be ready to start tomorrow. So offensively, you're starting everybody, and everybody is ready to go. Defensively, the only concern is Pat Angerer, and this is no discredit to Pat, but Pat was gone most of last year, and when he did play was pretty ineffective because of the foot injury he was dealing with. And so I don't think that if they don't have Pat, I don't think that's a huge loss to the Colts defense. I think he can certainly help the Colts defense, but if he's not in there, I'm not overly concerned about the Colts defense.
Well, one other thing we're talking about people missing, I don't think this is anything to be worried about, but it is something to address because it is who it is. Reggie Wayne was excused from practice for personal reasons. Is there anything going on there, or is this just let's just move on and nothing to be worried about? Do we even know what these personal reasons were? They call it personal for a reason, I guess, but I'm curious as to, is that something we need to be worried about?
I have no idea what his personal reasons were. But I know that during the regular season, it won't be unusual for Reggie to skip a practice here or there just because he's a veteran and they want to rest his body. So in training camp, that happened at least once, I know, where Reggie just took the day off, veterans' privileges. And so I don't think there's anything to be concerned about with whatsoever. In fact, Reggie, I thought, was so impressive in the preseason, just showing that he's as good as ever and, you know, is fooling the clock with his career right now.
Well, one of the parts of the Colts components, obviously a lot of moving parts with them, but I think one of the parts that we have to really focus on is special teams. And David Reed, with the special teams, not going to be able to play tomorrow. Again, going back to concussions in the NFL, taking concussions very, very seriously, as they should. But with David Reed's absence, how much is that going to affect the special teams against the Raiders?
Well, I hope that we'll see T.Y. Hilton at least return punts. I think he can be a very effective weapon there. I know there's times where you want to limit the exposure of a frontline player to special teams injury risk, but I sure would like to see T.Y. Hilton returning punts at least, and I think he can be very effective at that position. We know we've got a great punter in Pat McAfee. The Colts are set there, and you've got an ageless veteran and Adam Vinatieri, who's been very consistent as well. So I think the Colts are pretty well set up on special teams. Obviously, the one thing that bothers you is you saw the Bills return a kick for a touchdown in the preseason, and those are the kind of plays that can kill you. You can't allow any kind of big play on a return in special teams, and that's something that the Colts have to be aware of and have to clean up. You never can judge those too tightly in the preseason, though, because you have a lot of guys playing special teams in the preseason who aren't even on your 53-man roster today.
Right, absolutely. And it is so good to see Chuck Pagano back on the sidelines. But as a fan, we don't really have a lot to look at with Chuck Pagano as a coach. We could look at his time with the Ravens, but unfortunately with his battle with cancer, it's just a terrible thing that happened to him. And what a great outpouring that fan base supported him and Jim Mercy and the Colts supported him. It's great to see him on the sideline, but we really don't know how good of a coach Chuck Pagano really is. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a great fit, and I think he's here for the long haul. But, I mean, we just don't have a lot to judge with Chuck Pagano. So what advice would you give just the novice Colts fan that goes to work every day, watches the Colts on Sunday? What can we learn about Chuck Pagano?
Well, I think we're going to see what kind of coach he is as two things develop this season. One is decisions in close games, fourth quarter, at the end, what kind of decisions does he make? He was not making those decisions. As much input as he had last year with the team, from the hospital bed, from his home, as much input as he could have, he wasn't on the phone with Bruce Arians on 3rd and 8 or 4th and 2. Those decisions were being made by other people. So we haven't seen Chuck Pagano in that head coaching situation making those types of calls. And then the second thing is, how does he handle the team in adversity? When they suffer their first loss that they shouldn't suffer, or they give up a big play that cost them a game, when they lose a game that they had won, when the team starts to face its first adversity this season, and they will, it's inevitable, how does he respond? How does he handle the team? And then how does the team respond to him? That's the way that we'll be able to judge Coach Pagano, because I think, as you say fairly, we have not really seen Chuck Pagano as the head coach of the Colts yet.
And obviously we're going to have that opportunity tomorrow, and certainly we hope that his health stays in shape and everything will be great. Now, we look at the Raiders real quickly here, and I tell you what, the chance, and I look at a blog written by one of the other radio guys here in town, and he was talking about the Raiders beating the Colts or anybody else for that matter is to really abandon the conventional thinking and try to muck up the game, if you will. How did the Raiders muck up the game for the Colts? Are the Colts prepared for that type of a game plan? Because obviously prior, as you said, the worser of two evils, they've got to muck up this game somehow. And I'm curious about that. And I'm referring to the blog on 1070 The Fan by Conrad Brunner's blog. Maybe you read it about the Raiders prior to challenge Colts prep and read option. He says in his blog that the Raiders and Pryor have to muck up the game. How can they do that?
Well, they can have a quarterback who's playing an option offense, which you don't see in the NFL, although we're getting a little bit more of it with more and more running quarterbacks. So if you've got a quarterback who can make some plays with his legs, and I think that blends toward what you might call mucking up the game, and I think the Colts have to be prepared for that. They have to be aware of that. I think they have to expect that with Terrell Pryor tomorrow. The Raiders might take some chances. No one expects them to win. No one expects them to have a great season. And so they're in a position to take perhaps more risk. I think of a Jeff Fisher Tennessee Titans team that would come to Indianapolis when they were struggling, and Fisher would pull out anything he could think of to try to beat the Colts with a trick play, an unexpected twist to an offensive play. And so I think the Colts have to be prepared for that kind of a football game. But ultimately, if the Colts can stop Darren McFadden and can make the Raiders throw the football or make the Raiders use Terrell Pryor, I think they're in a good position. So I think that's where the Colts want to put the game, is in the hands of Terrell Pryor. And if the ball is in his hands, I think the Colts are in a better situation to win the football game than if Darren McFadden is able to consistently break off 5, 6, 7, 8, 10-yard runs, then that's going to be more of a problem than if Terrell Pryor wants to try to run the football. But I think that's one way the Raiders might, as Conrad Brunner put it, muck up the game, is that they've got a quarterback who can do a couple of things, and I think most people might say is probably a bigger threat with his legs and his arm. Although he's got a great arm, he can throw it a long way. I'm just not sure he can consistently find his receivers.
We're talking with Rich Nye, the sports guy, WTHR sports guy, covering the Colts and the Raiders. Obviously, game one, the Raiders at the Colts. Home field advantage is always fantastic for the Colts. Always has been, always will be. Certainly, if you're a Colts fan, the place to be is Lucas Oil Stadium. But likewise, you know, Raider Nation is pretty much known for their home field advantage as well. So out of those two teams, would Indianapolis, if you look at home field advantage, obviously Indianapolis is going to play well tomorrow. It's home field advantage. But if the roles were reversed, if we were out there at Raider Nation and Luck was there, how big of a distraction would that be for Luck?
I don't think it would be any distraction for him. In fact, being from having played his college football in Northern California, he might feel right at home.
Good point.
Oakland's not too far from Stanford at all. So, and having been out there to the Black Hole, yeah, there's fans there with their makeup and their costumes, but when your football team can't back it up, that's a lot of tradition and a lot of sort of legend and not so much reality.
Well, we'll see what Terrell Pryor can do against Andrew Luck tomorrow at Lucas Oil Stadium. Rich Nye, the sports guy, WTHR Sports. Rich, I always want to give you the opportunity to say anything that we may have missed, talk about anything that we haven't talked about, any keys to the game we haven't talked about, anything you want to talk about this matchup, the Raiders and the Colts.
Well, I just think overall it's a good chance for the Colts to get off to a great start. This team went 11-5 last year. I think I've probably said to you before that I think they're more talented this year. they probably won't win 11 games. I think the division comes down to Houston and the Colts once again. Today, if you're asking me, I would pick the Texans. But I think this division has two weak links and two strong links. And the two weak links are obviously Tennessee and Jacksonville. You have to sweep those teams if you're the Colts or the Texans if you expect to win the division. And if the Colts and or the Texans, either one, slip up and lose one of those four games against a Tennessee or a Jacksonville, that's probably going to cost you the division title. But the Colts don't get into the division until, I believe, week four against Jacksonville on the road. So right now they've got to get two wins that are very winnable at home at Lucas Oil Stadium. Meantime, I hope that you'll watch the 13th Sports Jam tomorrow night. We'll have, obviously, Sunday Night Football all season long on NBC. So after you watch the big game on Sunday night, we'll be there right after the game. Reggie Wayne joins us tomorrow night to kick things off. He's back with Channel 13 again. And I want to mention that we now have Andrew Luck joining Channel 13 for Monday Conversations. Dave Calabro will have an exclusive interview with Andrew Luck every Monday at 5:50 after a Colts game. So we've got your Colts coverage for you, and you can certainly always follow me when we're not on the air at the Sports Guy 13 on Twitter or Facebook.
Absolutely, and we'll get that up on Twitter. Andrew Luck, part of the Channel 13 football conversation, and we'll keep up with you guys. And also, if you're a high school sports fan, Channel 13 is a place to be. My nephew plays for Wrights. I graduated from Castle, all down in southern Indiana. So we love football down in southern Indiana, but I know you guys do a great coverage of it here. Wrights Castle game, great game last night. But I wish we had some time at some point to get into a high school football conversation, because I know you guys do great coverage out there with your Operation Football.
Well, we'll leave you with a nugget. Decatur Central has scored more points than any team in the state. I think they've scored 175 points, but I think they've given up almost 200 points. So they're 0-3.
Wow.
There's the nugget for this morning.
There's the nugget. Rich Nye, the sports guy, WGHR Sports. Make sure you catch him with the Colts and obviously all the post-game coverage and conversations with Andrew Luck. We appreciate you being on with us today, and hopefully we'll have you on throughout the season, Rich.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, buddy. Rich Nye, the sports guy, WTHR Sports, obviously a beat reporter for WTHR and the Indianapolis Colts, breaking down game one of the Oakland Raiders and the Indianapolis Colts. The Raiders come into town here. As a matter of fact, they're already in town. As I was leaving my office last night, saw the buses all lined up in front of the hotel, the police escorts, everybody lined up, and believe it or not, I was shocked. There were a lot of Raider fans in line to get autographs from the Oakland Raiders as they got off the bus. Well, welcome to Indianapolis, Raider fans. I wish that I had some good news for you, but I think the Colts are going to put it together. My name's Sal Marquez, El Presidente. Got just a couple minutes left in the show. Certainly, guys, I want to take this opportunity to thank our entire balanced team. Certainly, all of our guests, Walter Cox, ESPN, Pitt Reporter, one of our greatest fans of the show. And we love having him on. Affectionately call him Uncle Walter. Sparky, Super Colts fan, joining us and talking to us about the fans' perspective and getting you ready as a fan to tailgate downtown Lucas Oil. Also, Rich Nye, the sports guy, want to thank all of our friends out at Indiana Talks. We'll be running there today between the hours of 4 and 6. And also, our very talented and well sought after producer and social media director, one Michelle Jones, and we thank her for all the things that she does in the background that nobody ever knows about, that she never gets has a thankless job. But I'm going to tell you what, she does a great job for us, and we love having her on board. My name's Sal Marquez. Remember, if you're out there tailgating and doing all the football stuff, we want you to do that and have a great time. Just remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. Obviously, every week we see about the things that have happened when it comes to drinking and driving. Don't drink and drive. It just isn't cool, guys. We're out of here. My name's Sal Marquez. We'll see you next week right here on the Balanced Radio Network. Same balance time, same balance channel.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.